Now, if you have a piece of paper, you want to get a piece of paper and write down the lesson this morning is on the seven major mysteries of the New Testament. The seven major mysteries of the New Testament. There are several of them, by the way. If you studied the word mystery in the Bible, you would come up with a great deal of mysteries. But there are seven major mysteries in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and," that word right there, "stewards," stewards. Now, you're a steward of something. You're not a steward of money. You're a steward, in this case, of what? Stewards of the mysteries of Christ. Now, a steward means he's in charge of something. He's in charge of taking care of these mysteries. Make sure you know them. Make sure you take care of them. Mystery number one. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy and 1 Timothy chapter 3, and let's pick up verse 16. Here's mystery number one. You want to look at the verse and mark it. 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy," I mean that without controversy, I mean no argument about it. This is a great mystery. "Without controversy, great," now it's going to be a great mystery, "great is the mystery." Now write down, a mystery is something you don't quite understand, but you can believe it. You can believe it. But you may not completely understand it. "Great is the mystery of godliness." Now watch it. What is that mystery? God was manifest in the flesh. That's the mystery. Now what is the mystery? The mystery is that God became a man. Then he walked around and he became flesh and bones like you see me have. So what is that, a mystery? How in the world, here's a little baby right here. Here's this little baby. And Mary had a little baby, amen? And this baby is who? God. God. There's that little baby is God. Now that's a mystery, boy. That's a mystery. You can't understand it. How God became a man. Now, it's very important that you know that mystery and understand that mystery and believe that mystery, because what kind of birth was that? Was that a birth of a man? That was a birth of God. Man wasn't involved. Joseph was not involved. She was a virgin. You believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, say amen. So you better know something about the mystery. A lot of folks don't believe in the virgin birth. A lot of folks don't believe he was God. Manifest in the flesh. Now somebody's going to knock on your door, if they haven't already, and told you that Jesus Christ is a God. Is he a God, or is he God manifest in the flesh? He's God manifest in the flesh. He's not a God, like the Jehovah's Witness teach. They teach that he's a God. He is not a God. He is God manifest in the flesh. He's not a God as the Jehovah's Witness teach or the Mormons teach. He is Jehovah God. Now, why is that important? Who died for your sins on the cross of Calvary? A man or God? God in a man. God in a man died on the cross of Calvary. If he wasn't God manifest in the flesh, how could he die for your sins? You wouldn't even hear. That was 2,000 years ago. See, that's the whole point of it. You've got to believe that mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now notice it says God was manifest in the flesh. You know what the New Modern Bible say. What do they say? Without, how many of you, oh, I'm getting a little test this morning. How many of you know that it's not God in the New Modern Bibles? It's what? Bush, Pastor. Don't say nothing. You can't tell them. I know you know. What is it, folks? It's not God, it's what? It's He. You get an A for the test today. It's He. Now, what difference does it make if you take God out of the verse? Then He could be a God with the Jehovah's Witnesses. He could be any God. So they're against the deity of Jesus Christ. That's what's wrong with these new modern Bibles. They're against His deity. Time after time after time. It's not just once they did it. They did it several times against the deity of Jesus Christ. So write down Luke chapter 2, verse 33. Again, against the deity of Jesus Christ. All right, now let's go on. Mystery number 2. So protect that mystery because it is proven the deity of Jesus Christ. Mystery number 2. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Take your Bible and turn to Colossians. Now this is mystery number 2. And you're to protect this mystery. You're a steward of this mystery. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God, now underline it, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His, of this mystery, there it is, among the Gentiles. Now he's going to tell you what that mystery is. Which is what? What's the mystery? Christ in you. So this is a mystery you need to know to protect something. Now, Christ in you is what? That's salvation. Do you have Jesus Christ in you? Now, where is Jesus? Is Jesus Christ in you? Is He in you? Is He in you? Is He in you? Is Jesus Christ in you? Is Jesus Christ in you? Is He in the guy over there in Russia if he's saved? Is He in the guy over there in China if he's saved? Is the guy down there in Africa, he saved, is He in him? Now how is He in everybody at the same time? That's a mystery. That's a mystery. Is Jesus Christ up in heaven? How can He be up in heaven and in every one of you and that guy? Man, what a mystery. But He is. He is. Christ is in me. Now that's a must for anybody joined in this church. If anybody joins this church, I'm correct, ain't I, right, brother? They have to have Jesus in them, don't they? You won't let them come in the church if they don't have Jesus in them, will you? Well, do you know what it'll protect? It'll protect a whole bunch of people joining and become a member of a church and all of them being lost. That's what's happening in America right now. Churches are getting full of lost people. Lost people, and they got religion without salvation. Because somebody don't know about this mystery of Jesus Christ in you. You got to protect it. You ask them this question. Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? When did you do it? See what I'm saying? So it's a mystery that you need to protect. And there are several verses that will go on it, but we don't have time to get all the verses. So I want you to go to the next mystery. Mystery number 2. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans and turn to Romans chapter 11. Here's a mystery you need to know, you need to protect, and you are a steward of it. Romans chapter 11. Fellow says, I'm a steward of my money. Yeah, but that's not your stewardship. Your stewardship are these mysteries, and you better take care of them, and God will hold you accountable for taking care of them. And if you don't take care of them, you will stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ when it comes, and you'll regret it. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Here we go now. Romans 11, 25. And it says, For I would not, brethren, that ye should be what? Ignorant. That means don't be a dummy about this. Don't be stupid about it. Don't be ignorant of it. You better know it. Do you know what this mystery is? You say, well, preacher, I don't have any idea what this mystery is. You're supposed to know it. And if you don't know it, you better find out. Because God will hold you accountable. There's a judgment day coming. Should ignorant of this mystery, least, if you are, this is what's going to happen to you, least you should be wise in your own what? Conceit. What's conceit mean? Conceited. If you're conceited, you're what? You're proud. You're puffed up. You think you're something. You're all puffed up like that, like a toad. You get run over by a big car. Come on, folks. This is funny. Yeah, you can laugh. And guy gets all puffed up, and one of these days, you say, what is this? This guy thinks something. Now watch it. At least you should arise in your own conceit. And blindness, in part, now circle it, in part, is happened to what? Israel. So the mystery is, the mystery is what? Not ignorant of the mystery, that blindness in part has happened to the Jews. Now this mystery, you want to write it down, this mystery is the blindness of Israel is in part. One of these days, God's going to save the whole Jewish nation. So this mystery is to protect the Jew, to protect the Jew. Now, what great promise was given to a Jew, God gave in Genesis chapter 12. Write it down, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. He said, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. That's a promise given to the Jew, and it's still good right now today. So if you know this mystery, you will do what? You will protect the Jew. Now, anybody know a Jew? Find you a Jew, and get right up alongside of him and say, how's it going today? Just become his friend, treat that guy like gold. And you know something, God will give you a blessing. Now, if you want to curse, just hammer him, and God will hammer you. Yes. I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. That's aimed at the Jewish nation. You know who's going to run the world? The Jews are going to run the world. They're going to run the entire earth. God is not through with the Jew. Now, postmillennialism is a doctrine. There's three doctrines in the United States about millennium. There's postmillennialism, premillennialism, and allmillennialism. How many of you know what the millennium is? Say amen. Raise your hand if you know what the millennium is. Okay? There's three philosophies on the millennium. Postmillennial, that means Christ is coming back at the end of the millennium. Premillennial, that means he's coming back before the millennium. You folks are premillennial, preachers premillennial. C.I. Schofield Bible is premillennial. A lot of the Southern Baptists are not premillennial. No Catholic is premillennial. No Lutheran is premillennial. You say, what? You're premillennial. Why? You say, what's the difference? They believe that God has dealt through with the Jew, and the Christian gets all the promises aimed at the Jew, and we're the spiritual Jew right now. We're the spiritual Jew. We're the ones. Well, once you get that thing down and it gets in politics, you know what's going to happen to America? If America forsakes the Jew, God's going to forsake America. And if you want a bomb to drop on America, then just vote against the Jew, and we have had it in the neck. You with me? Say amen. So this is a mystery to protect the Jew, that blindness in part is happened to the Jewish nation. Know the mystery and protect the mystery and protect that Jew. So if you get a vote, you vote yes for the Jew. Lock, stock, and barrel, brother. Yeah, amen. America's not going to win place or show in the millennial reign of Christ. America is not going to, the Jews are going to run the world through Jesus Christ, through his 12 disciples, and every kingdom on earth will go to the Jewish nation for direction and order. And if they don't get any rain. They don't get any rain if they don't. Now, mystery number four. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Mystery number four. Now, you need to protect this mystery. And this is a mystery. And you need to know something about this mystery. You say, well, preacher, I don't know anything about that mystery. Then you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want you to look at verse 51. Verse 51. Now, you're all with me? Here's mystery number four. You better know something about it. Know all about it. I'm just giving you about that much of the mystery. The mystery will go this far if you search it out. You search it out, you dig into it, you ought to know a lot about that mystery. God will hold you accountable for it. What if on the judgment day he says, okay, give me the seven mysteries? And you say, what? What, Lord? Well, what? You'll get an F on the judgment day. You don't want to get it. You want to get an A. I've often thought if he give us a chance up at the judgment seat of Christ to find out just how much we already know about his son and about his book. Some folks are going to be in big trouble. They can talk about their church, and they can talk about their religion, and they can talk about a whole bunch of other stuff, but they absolutely know zippo about the Bible. And I'm going to get on your case, because I couldn't read till I was 27 years old. Some of you could read in the third grade. I'm going to get on your case, boy. I'm going to say, Lord, don't let him fly! Because you can read when you was in the third, and by the time you hit the third grade, you could read better than I could when I was 27. And so there's no excuse for you.
Yeah.
All right, now watch it. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a what? Mystery. A mystery. Here's mystery number four. We shall not all sleep. Not every Christian is going to be dead. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now write a theological word in the margin of your Bible. It's a theological word, but write in the margin of the Bible. It describes it perfectly. It's called what, folks? Now, come on, you all ought to know this. It's called what? The rapture. The rapture. Then the Lord, say, this mystery is what? This mystery is protect the fact that Jesus Christ could come back at any moment. And you say, why is that important? That's important because you don't want to be caught in your sin when Jesus Christ comes back. Suppose a fella is in the middle of a sin. Y'all with me? He's in the middle of some sin. And he goes, bam! The trumpet goes off and out he goes. He goes, right in the Lord's face. Won't he be embarrassed?
Yeah.
Suppose he's going bellying up at a bar somewhere. A Christian. Or maybe he just got at home in his icebox. Blam! There goes the trumpet. Now he goes. He goes, sorry, Lord. You say, well, it'll protect you in sin. You don't want to be caught in sin when the Lord comes back.
Amen.
Say amen.
Yes.
So he'd come back at any time. Often I've caught myself in a sin and I said, oh, please don't come right now. Wait a few minutes for me to get out of this mess I'm in. Say amen.
Yes.
It'll protect you. Next time you come around, you'll say, wait a minute, I ain't going to be caught in there. The Lord just might come back while I'm in there. I ain't going there. No, sirree, Bob. I ain't going to get caught. Wouldn't be a terrible thing to be caught in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
You say some Christians think it's okay to get in a bar. You'd be surprised what some Christians think.
Yeah.
Go in a bar. It's okay. You can justify any sin if you want to.
Yeah.
But that's to protect that. And we can do a great study on it. That's a study that you could go on for the next hour. But you better be ready and looking for it. How many of you want to get a crown at the judgment seat of Christ? Want a crown? Raise your hand. Put your hand up if you want a crown. There you go. You get to wear it for 1,000 years. A king wears a crown. And you reign with Jesus Christ when he comes back if you love his appearing. A man who loves his appearing gets a crown. Just to put it on, boy. Just to put it on. Just to wear it for 1,000 years. King, boy, rule. That means I'm going to rule. I'm going to reign with a rod of iron.
Amen,
over cities. See, you really believe that? Yeah, it's in the Bible. It's in the Scripture. It's going to actually happen. So you better protect that mystery of the rapture. You better be ready because it's about to go. Get you some treasures up in heaven, man. Get you some treasures up there. Reign with Jesus. He's coming back. Don't just live your own life for yourself. A life spent on yourself is a wasted life. A life spent on Jesus Christ is a successful life. Success ain't being a millionaire. Why? Because you can't take the million with you.
Amen.
Got it?
Right.
You can't take it with you. You think you can't? Put it in a hearse and see if it goes. It won't go. It won't go. It'll stay right here, and your kids will get it, and somebody else will get it, but you ain't going to take it with you. Only way to take it with you is give it to God. You give it to God, then you take it with you. And you get paid back 100-fold. 100-fold. You can't get that good at the bank. All right. Mystery number 5. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want you to look at something. For the mystery, 2 Thessalonians 2, and this is a mystery, and but you want to know something about it, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's pick up verse 7. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. It was working in Paul's day. And that mystery there is doing something. The mystery iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. How many have a Scofield Bible? How many have a Scofield Bible? Raise your hand if you got a Scofield Bible in your hand. Scofield Bible's a great Bible. I recommend it. It's the only one I recommend. I think it's a great one. But see, as Scofield said that was the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit leaves at the rapture. Now, that ain't the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you know it ain't the Holy Spirit? He's wrong. Scofield's just a man. Say amen. Yeah. Just a man. Dr. Ruckman said, go buy a C.I. Scofield Bible. So I went and bought one. And when I bought the thing and put it like that, and I'm just a new Christian, I thought, man, what's this thing in the back of this Bible? It's a concordance. I said, well, what's that? That's concordance in the back of the Bible. All I need is the Bible. I don't need this thing in the back. So I took a razor blade and I cut it out. I threw it overboard. Boom, how it went. Now, I don't recommend you do that. I recommend you keep that there. Scofield Bible. Keep your Scofield Bible. It's a good one. He's just wrong in this place. Where a guy contradicts the Bible, he's wrong. The mystery of iniquity, do you think that's the Holy Spirit? When it says iniquity, something went wrong somewhere. The mystery of iniquity is connected with the devil. Now, what's it covering up? Let's look back at verse 7. Let's go back there and pick up verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And then on down through the passage, talking about the revealing of the man of sin. Who's the man of sin? Antichrist. Antichrist. So the mystery of iniquity is going to deal with what? Christ and false Christ and true Christ. Now, is there a true Jesus Christ? Is there a false Jesus Christ? Right now, somebody's receiving a false Christ. Trusting in a false Christ. And they're going to go to hell trusting in a false Christ. You follow me, folks? You follow me? These folks are saying, I've got my Christ to save me. I'm trusting my Christ. I'm trusting in him. And I'm relying upon him, depending upon him, and I'm counting in him. And don't you criticize my religion. I will get mad at you if you criticize my religion. You've got a false Christ, and they'll take you to hell. See, if you don't know nothing about this mystery, you're going to be in big trouble. You won't know nothing about the Antichrist. You won't understand that there's false Christ in this world today. Jesus Christ is real. So is a false Christ. Put people in hell. Want to put you in heaven. Say amen. So you better learn something about the mystery of iniquity. Because there's connected with a counterfeit. Write that word down. Counterfeit. Connected with a counterfeit. C-O-U-N-T-E-R-F-E-I-T, is that correct? Ooh, wow. It comes out once in a while. Mystery number 6. All right, mystery number six is connected with Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Here's mystery number six. Turn to Ephesians. And turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Here is this mystery. And it's a great mystery, by the way. Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 5, pick up verse 32. Verse 32. This is a, what, folks? Great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and what? The church. Now, the church, Christ and the church. Okay, now I want you to go back to a little bit about this mystery so you kind of understand what it is. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verse 22. It says, Christ and the church. So the church is a mystery. It's a mystery. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. He hath put all things under his feet, and give him to be the head over all things, the what? Church. So the church, Jesus Christ, is the head of the church. Now verse 23. Which is his what? Body. So the church is his body. Y'all with me now? Okay, so what makes up that body? Every man that is saved makes up that body. Every man that's saved. Let's say he's a Catholic and he's saved. Is he in the body? Yes, he is. Let's say he's a Jehovah's Witness and he's saved. Is he in the body? He's in the body. Because he's saved, he's in the body. He's part of the body. Y'all with me? And the body is the church. Now you say, what are you aiming at? Look at here. Guy says, I belong to the right and only church there is. I belong to the true church. Hey, the church is what? The church is a body. It's made up of the whole world. Yeah. Is that a denomination? Yeah. Absolutely not. It's not made up of a denomination. It's made up of a body. So here's a guy that's a Catholic. He's a body. And he's saved. He'll be up in heaven. Right there with me. And I'm a Baptist, and he's a Lutheran, he's a Episcopalian, he's Jehovah's Witness, he's a Mormon, and we're all in the body, and we're up there in heaven. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
You say it's a mystery? It's a mystery. A lot of folks say, my church, the true church, and you don't belong to my church, you don't belong to the true church. And no, anybody hear that?
Yeah.
If a guy tells you that his church is the only true church, he's lying, and you know that's not the truth.
Amen.
He's trying to mess you up, trying to get you off into something and mess you up. You know that's not the truth. Well, a lot of folks say it. A lot of folks say it right there. Okay, also, this mystery. When the Lord leaves, I'm part of his body. I'm maybe the eye. I'm maybe the nose. Says, can the ear say to the foot, I have no need of thee? Remember the passage? Can the ear say to the foot, I have no need of thee? Wait a minute, does the ear need the foot? Let me ask you something. This body's a mystery. Are you an ear? Or are you the foot? Or are you the nose? What part of you are the body are you are? What part are you? I have any idea. I just know I'm part of the body. Another one. When Christ leaves with his body, is he going to leave part of it behind? Is he going to take his eye out and say, my eye was awful backslidden. Awful backslidden. I mean, it was awful backslidden. You got to stay. Is he going to do that?
Yeah.
Or is he going to take you home to heaven no matter if you was backslidden your whole life, you was out of fellowship with God your whole life, you never read your Bible, you didn't do it, you didn't follow God, you're just as backslidden as you could be your whole life. You never served God. You're going to go with the rest of us, boy.
Yeah.
We're going to go. You're going to go.
Yeah.
Now, you will be awful sad when you get up there. You will be bawling and crying when you hit the throne room. But, and you'll say, oh God, let me do it over again. Oh, I want to do it over again. Well, I'm going to say no. You had one chance. Life is a black powder rifle. You only get one shot. Say amen. Mystery number seven. Mystery number seven is Revelation chapter 17. And here's a mystery that you need to protect and take care of. And a lot of guys are gutless and won't take care of the mystery. Revelation chapter 17, and pick up verse 7, Revelation 17, 7. And it says, mystery, right in the middle of the verse. How many of you have a Bible that has block capital letters on mystery, the Babylon, the great, the mother, the harlot, the abomination of the earth? Raise your hand. In block capital letters. Raise your hand. Put it up there. Ain't that something? You know why the Lord did that? You know why the Lord did that? So you won't miss it. And some of you still miss it when this preacher gets up and lambasts the Roman Catholic Church. Does he hammer the Roman Catholic Church on some occasion?
Yeah.
I mean, really just kind of make you go like this? A little bit and say, shh, I've got a Catholic with me, preacher. Shh. And he just hammers it, does he? Oh, we'll find out, does he?
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you. Amen. He takes care of the mystery. He takes care of the mystery. You know, a whole bunch of preachers in America are gutless and won't say one single word. Won't say one single word. J. Frank Norris preached 5 weeks in a row on the Roman Catholic Church. 5 week revival on no other subject but the Roman Catholic Church. J. Frank Norris in Texas. Try that in America today. How about it, Billy Graham?
Yeah.
You say, what happened? We're getting ready to jump on off spot, folks. We're getting ready to leave, boy. We're getting ready to leave. So next time your preacher gets up there and says something, don't you walk out the door and say, well, you shouldn't criticize somebody else's religion. Don't you say that.
Yeah.
Don't you say that. You say, thank God he's doing his job. He's doing what he's supposed to do, and he's taking care of the mystery of God. And he named her. And he said exactly what it is. I don't have to teach you all the verses on it because it's there. She's a city. She's got the colors, the whole work. And I bet you he told you everything he knows about it. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for it. Now, brother, take care of the mysteries of God and be a good steward of the mysteries of God. Is there